coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm.
Well, hello everybody and happy Tuesday night. Chris Jordan here, coming to you live this week. Man, it's been a wild couple months, you know, with Psy Games, everything else. And it's going to be a wild month coming up, folks, just so you know. We are going to have, sadly, episode 200 coming up. I'm not saying sadly that's coming up. It's amazing it's coming up, but it will be a pre-recorded episode. I will be on the road to provide audio video for IRVA at their conference in Cloudcroft. Our IRVA family has called me to take care of their audio video needs, so I will be on the road that night. And we have tons of pre-recorded stuff coming to you from Crossing Realms Conference. Speaking of Crossing Realms, we will have a couple of the organizers, Krista Michael Tweedy and Brandy Butcher from Blondes and Booze on tonight to give a little preview about that, what the conference is all about. We will also be, in addition to Crossing Realms, we will be at the Weird Expo, the World Oddities Expo here in Austin. I will be speaking at Symposium of the Strange next week, August 27th in San Antonio. So hop on out to that if you can make it. We will be talking about paranormal data and how to examine it and the difference between data and evidence. We will also be coming to you from the 9/11 Truth Conference. Next week, we will be featuring Richard Gage, who is the founder of the 9/11 Truth Organization. We will be talking with him about 9/11. They have asked us to go out and cover their event in D.C., so that will be an amazing trip. Then right after that, we're going to be going to the Pyramid Conference and then to IRVA. So like I said, tons and tons of pre-record, amazing, amazing, long, long episodes coming up with tons of coverage. Our guest in the first part tonight is Tony Rathman, folks. He has 15 years of experience in paranormal investigations. He is the founder and lead investigator of Entity Voices Paranormal. And he is the ITC researcher and developer of Staticom 3.0 Spirit Communication. This is why we wanted to have Tony on the show. I have watched him from afar over the last couple of years with Staticom, and it's been really cool to see the developments that you've made, the strides that you've made, Tony. And this new 3.0 platform seems really, really cool. Welcome to the show for your first time. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Chris. Appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to talking about this, getting into what Staticom is, how it works, what it can do. And so I appreciate that very much.
Absolutely. You are more than welcome. I love talking tech. I am a tech head. I build circuits and guitar pedals and things like that. I have modified circuits for years. And there were a few things that as you were developing the new Staticom that I rang in about here and there with shielding and stuff like that. But let's begin at the beginning. How did you get into the world of paranormal investigation to begin with, Tony?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I never planned to. My father was a physics instructor, and, you know, we didn't really have much discussion on paranormal or spirits or ghosts or any of that. I mean, sure. I would ask why the sky is blue, and he'd say, well, because
ozone,
there's water.
Son.
Right, because there's water vapor in the air, and blue is the most reflective color, and when the sunlight hits it, it reflects blue.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I met my wife and got married, and she took an interest in the paranormal shows, and she kept saying, come on, you're going to love this. I would last about 2 minutes and go, nope, this isn't real. This is BS. It's for entertainment only. And I'd walk away. Well, then on Valentine's Day of 2010, she kind of tricked me. I said, hey, what do you want to do for Valentine's Day? She goes, I want to do something different. I want to do something more exciting. I said, okay, what do you want to do? She goes, I want to go ghost hunting. And I was like, oh my God. So, but I had two choices. I could take her or have her mad at me until next Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Didn't want that, so I took her. So to make a long story short, you know, she had fun. That was all I cared about. I played along. I got her a digital recorder, night vision camera, and an EMF meter, and she was happy. She had fun. But it was when she got the stuff home and started reviewing it. There were things in the pictures that weren't there when we took them. She had actually, on our very first investigation, caught an apparition in the mirror. And we actually watched it take a couple of steps and then vanish in front of us.
Wow.
And but that didn't catch my attention as much as vocals. Mm. The fact that we were the only two people at 3 a.m. in the basement of this hotel, which technically we probably shouldn't have even been there. There was nobody else around. No one. Yet we were asking questions, and with timing and relevance, would get intelligent answers to the questions we asked. That blew my mind. How was that occurring? I needed to either figure it out.
Yeah.
Or I would remain baffled. So we went back. I said, maybe there's an vent that sounds were coming through, or, you know. So we went and we checked everything out. Nope. Couldn't find any reason for it. Came back with even more evidence. And now for over 15 years, we've been going down the road to continued research to figure out answers. And, you know, it's really funny because we started out ghost hunting, but I'm no longer trying to prove that spirits exist. This whole adventure has changed from proving spirits exist to the fact that humans have consciousness, which we all know, but that consciousness survives death and exists beyond it. And that's now what we research and what we're going after.
Well, and you know, it's fascinating that you say that. A couple of years ago, one of the first conferences that I sponsored as Curious Realm was the near-death IANS, the International Association of Near-Death Studies. And right. I sponsored that with the Bigelow Institute. Like, yep. We were the only two sponsors. It blew my mind to see my logo underneath the Bigelow Institute.
Next to Bix.
As someone who, like, does AV for a living, it was like, holy crap. Like, I am up there with the big boys right now. But it was that year that Robert Bigelow and the Bigelow Institute for Discovery Sciences put out a grant and a reward for proof of the existence of consciousness on the other side.
$500,000. Yep. Jeffrey Mishlove won it.
He did. He did. Through his essay. It was amazing. But there was another award that they announced, like, can you contact? Like, we want lab proof. This was announced after Jeffrey won his award.
Right.
Hey, we are putting a grant out there. Anybody who can physically prove connection with the other side.
We have it.
So it's pretty interesting to see people of that ilk getting involved with this, because it's no longer the point of spiritualism, Tony. Since quantum entanglement won the Nobel Prize, things are looking in a totally different way. Science is willing to look at a lot of these things that it was perfectly willing to not look at before.
That's true. I can't tell you how happy we personally are to see that, but it's still a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, we continue to reach out to organizations, including BIC, saying, hey, just take 20 minutes and just look at this, hear it. Still waiting for responses, but yeah, we're trying to show what it can do.
Well, and let's start getting into some of that. When I first found, one of the first paranormal things I was into was EVP. Yep. As a sound guy, as someone who did home recording, things like that, the idea that a ghost could electrically manipulate the weak magnetic field of the record head to get a very faint trace on cellophane tape was fascinating to me and very, very interesting. I remember, what was it called, the Black Lotus tapes? I believe it was, something like that, that was just all kinds of recordings. But all of those incorporated white noise, radio band, things like that. And even spirit boxes that you see now. And for a long time, I had a problem with even digital recorders doing EVP, Tony, because there's nothing physical there. However, because it's a one and zero assumption of the sound being heard. It's not an actual physical thing being changed through magnetics. However, that ghost could definitely weakly manipulate the field between the two pieces of quartz and metal, the brass that's there making the piezoelectric element, in the same way that they could a record head. So I grasp that, and I get that. So how does because Staticom doesn't work the same way. Before we get into spirit boxes here, folks, because as you know, I'm not a fan of 95% of spirit boxes. I can sweep through radio bands and find wild things too. However, Staticom doesn't work in that way. So let's start getting in. I don't want you to get into proprietaries. I don't want you to give away proprietaries, but I want you to point out how this is different than like the $70 spirit box available on Amazon. Sure. It just sweeps up and down through available radio frequencies.
Correct. And that's exactly how a spirit box works. Yeah. It scans radio frequency, can do AM, can do FM, can do it in forward, reverse. Some of them even now can automatically manipulate and change direction and stuff on their own.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, and this is one of the main two complaints from either scientists or skeptics, was that you're claiming to me that you're getting voices from the other side, but your basis for your mechanism is a radio, which is made to take RF signal in the atmosphere and turn it into either speech or music. How are you going to claim to me it's voices from the other side with proof when it's designed to produce speech on its own? And that's a very valid point. The other complaint from science and academia was you're not hearing words. Your mind is trying to pattern recognize warbles and artifacts of sound. And
audio pareidolia.
Correct. And you think your mind tries to make sense of it. So you think you're hearing speech, but you're not. So the first thing we did, and this was years ago, and two of our former counterparts actually did the research prior to us joining, where they went through every method of spirit communication ever used. And the only one that either did not face debunkery or lying was a method called direct radio voice. It was invented by Frederick Jurgensen. Frederick Jurgensen passed it on to Constantine Radova, and Radova taught a gentleman named Marcello Bacci, who's the most known for it. He used it for about 30, 35 years and would actually do live sessions for audiences where he could get messages if they had lost a child or a parent or a loved one. And he was actually tested in lab, and they couldn't debunk it, even by pulling two of his vacuum tube radio tubes out of the radio. So we started with that, and we got it to work. And then we started upgrading it to turn it into the 21st century by adding different electronic sound manipulation, frequency manipulation, noise reduction. And when we removed the radio, we no longer called it DRV or direct radio voice, and it became termed Staticom. So we had Staticom, then we had Staticom 2.0, and today we have Staticom 3.0, all that have gone through revisions and upgrades to make it clearer. And the last one was to lengthen the conversation. Like in DRV, we would ask a question and hope an answer appeared, but it would be the answer. Now, it was more than one word, like a spirit box. It was full sentence, but then that would be it. And then two, we increased the length. We could maybe ask a question or two. And now three, it does not drop off. The communication does not quit until either we turn the machine off or they don't want to speak anymore, but they'll just keep answering.
Interesting, man. And that is fascinating to me. And before we go any further, and before we get more into 3 and its capabilities, things like that, let's hear a quick clip from Staticom 2. Sure. which is pretty interesting. I am not going to say anything about this clip before I play it. I want the audience to hear it cold, so that they, you know, we aren't implanting anything in their mind or sure. things like that.
How do you hear me speak? How do you hear me speak?
Now, that second part is fascinating, because you can clearly hear energy of your mind. That's the thing.
Right.
And that is fascinating to me, because that's something that I talk about in my talks regularly whenever I present, is the idea that you cannot unring a bell.
Right.
You cannot destroy energy. Once energy is created, it can only change form.
Change form.
We will basically eventually vibrate one harmonic higher and no longer attract these elements that make the physical body. We'll pass into the next dimension or the one that's adjoining, because it's only separated by frequency.
Correct.
You know,
and that was one of the reasons for the question. Me being human, I'm producing vocals through my vocal cords. And I'm thinking, okay, if they're not human bodied anymore and their energy and frequency and vibration and they don't have ears, I want to know how they hear me speak. Now, this answer, energy of the mind, that's the thing. And I like how they prefaced it with, we call it death, meaning you guys call it death, because we're answering. Obviously, they're not dead, because they wouldn't be answering if they were. But it was fascinating to me because, A, for years, we did probably 12 years before, 10 years before this, we did EVP research. Mm. And a lot of times the answer would show up on the recorder before I even finished asking the question. This answers how they're doing it. It's not my vocals they're hearing. It's literally the fact that I'm thinking it. It is energy of the mind or consciousness passing that information to connected consciousness, in which there was a science article that just came out, I saw 2 days ago, saying that even humans, there's a connection with the mind to other humans. So, you know, it just keeps unraveling. But that's also the whole survival theory of science, trying to prove that maybe consciousness does survive death.
Well, and the A, it's non-local.
Correct.
That it is that, you know, though we participate in a consciousness, we are a distinct vibration of that consciousness. Together, we all make a great chord, you know,
correct.
In the universe. Right. But we're all individual notes that pluck differently and vibrate differently, you know. So, there is no homogeny in that kind of way. And
true.
The idea that, we are connected. And here's that article that you were talking about, I think. This just came out in July from Popular Mechanics. Scientists merge 3 human brains by thought alone. When you're talking about things like that, when you're talking about photonic information, that kind of stuff, the idea that our brains are living inside of a resonant chamber and create light and respond to light, it's interesting when you're talking specifically interference in electromagnetic signals, Tony, because as you know, developing Staticom, it doesn't take a lot to interfere with a circuit.
Right.
And to make something short circuit even, or receive something that maybe it shouldn't receive.
Correct. Very, very true. You know, the other thing where you're talking about, you know, photons and, you know, that gets into the whole, quantum theory that what is being observed as a photon or a, whatever element they're calling it as, quantum physics is now showing that this is like you were talking about before, this is nothing more than vibration.
Yeah.
And whatever that vibrational frequency is manipulates what we're calling atoms and protons and electrons into different, whatever it is they're showing as, showing at when it's observed under those conditions. So, this is all starting to tie together. And I love that, the fact that some of this information is starting to come out and being understood much better than it was in the past.
Well, and, mainly because I think we've got a more open mind with physics now. Even when it comes to physics, the fact of string theory fairly well being proven.
Right.
All of these concepts, Einstein's ring, black holes, it's interesting because they were all just pure hypothesis at one point, and scientific thought experiment is where most quantum physics and quantum mechanics comes from.
Correct.
So the idea that these thought experiments are now, it really brings up that quantum level concept of did enough people think about it for long enough that it became so, Tony?
Right. Well, and if you look back in history, gravity was like that too. It was not accepted for how long? And now, there's been some changes in thought and process of how it, but that's science. That's how science works. But that's anytime you come up with an idea or a theory that doesn't fall within the constraints and boundaries of which they believe everything to be, it's a struggle to push it forward, no doubt about it.
Yeah, precisely. And even with this, because I will tell you right now, man, it took me a while to come over to Staticom and to really be into it and to dig into it and understand that, it's working different than a vector sweep across radio frequencies. It's doing something totally different. So, and that's because, as somebody who played with CBs and ham radio and sideband and things like that, I used to, living in Houston, Texas with an old 1970s solid state, I used to pick up Dallas AM radio.
Sure.
When it was just right outside. Before the rain came, as the lightning and thunder would start to happen, I could tune in way low and catch Dallas, that far away. It was real faint, but you could hear it.
Right. And that happens. And, and then there's scientific theories something called second sound.
Yeah.
Where sounds can reverberate at lower levels, which is, they try to explain that for EVP, saying, the mic's more sensitive than your human ears and it'll pick up second sounds, which is possible. I'm not disagreeing.
Absolutely.
The nice thing about Staticom is that when we built it, we tried not to get into any sort of conflict with science. And right now we're not. So that helps in our explanation. It also is a clearer, straighter line to our answer of how we believe things are occurring and happening without the conflict of saying, no, science is wrong, because science isn't wrong.
No.
They may be limited in what they can prove because their science is made to explain behavior, future behavior of things based on conditions. The only thing that can truly prove is math. It's the only equation out there that proves something, but philosophy, science, really, they don't prove. So it's, that's part of the challenge.
Yeah, precisely. And the idea that coming at it from the idea of science, because that's something that I bring up regularly when we're talking paranormal investigation, things like that, Tony, is the idea of once you've had a paranormal experience, science began, whether you liked it or not. You observed something, you had a question. Train left the station, did you buy a ticket? That's really the only question. Science began, you're already a citizen scientist as the experiencer.
That's a great point, because it also fits into the theory. In order to experience something, you have to be conscious.
Yeah.
So without consciousness, you have no experience. Without the experience, you can't measure it. You can't collect data on it. And science and materialism today has a tendency to replace the measurement of something for it.
Yes.
You can't hand somebody 5 pounds. You can hand them a 5 pound weight, but 5 pounds is a representation of measurement.
That's right.
So there's confusion sometimes between the classification of it and the thing itself. You know, there's the old saying that, causation and correlation are two different
correlation
things.
Correlation is not causation.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. But, you know, I mean, every time you see a fire, you see firemen. But I guarantee you those firemen didn't start the fire. But you see them together all the time.
Every time.
Just an example. Right.
Yeah. And at the same time, I can hear my math teacher in my head right now. I can hear my geometry teacher from high school telling me you cannot define something by its definition.
Correct.
You cannot say a pilot is a pilot, the pilot's a plane.
Correct.
Which pilot is what? And like piloting is a form of navigation. It's also the person.
Correct.
So like you have to define one or the other. It's you know,
Otherwise you're just going in circles. Right.
Well, and that's just it. And even we as experiencers have to be willing to have what we brought in the red circle explained, man. You know, that doesn't remove the experience. It doesn't change the experience.
No.
All that it does is narrow the known quantitative or expand the known quantitative, narrow the anomaly that we're still trying to look at in science. So you've utterly contributed once again, even with your story, your audio recording, what have you, you've still added to the data set, which is hugely important.
I agree.
And at the same token, science has to be willing to look at all those things as part of a data set because, yes, they want to categorize things. That's what they do.
And
the problem with science and the paranormal is that for so long, everything has just been thrown into literally the Kleenex box. And there's 1,000 kinds of Kleenex, Tony.
Right.
They're all facial tissues, actually. Science would love it if you called them facial tissues so that we could actively get to the discussion of how they're made differently and how the products are different. And we can categorize them into lotioned ones, non-lotion, single-ply, double-ply, you know.
Well, I mean, even the part of the concern, though, is the construct of language.
Absolutely.
Our own language forces us to identify things that truly aren't things. Like if I said, what's this? Somebody goes, well, that's a fist. It's, you know, a fist. That's a thing. Well, where'd it go? It's not a noun as a thing. It's an action of my hand. You know, so, but language gets us into those holes all the time.
Yeah. And you know, especially the whole of data versus evidence.
Correct.
The idea of evidence should be what keeps you out of prison. Never let it be less than that. Like, please never let it be less than what you would give your lawyer and go, this will exonerate me. Because the minute that you do, it diminishes it.
Right.
All of those are points of data that could lead you down a trail of hypothesis that could, you know, bring up a point of contention in court. Absolutely. But you don't want to call it evidence unless it's ironclad, unless you can speak to it interminably to its provenance. So
agreed.
Fact that you guys and once again, when I ask people for clips, stuff like that. There are a lot of people that send a lot of, you did not send that many clips, Tony, for somebody that's been doing this for years, number one, and who is putting a product out. You didn't send a whole lot of clips. What you sent was some good quality clips. Let's get into the next one real quick.
Sure.
That'll kind of highlight the difference. We'll play the first one again, just so people can have the Staticom 2 fresh in their head. and then we'll listen to whichever one you decide real quick from the new collection that you sent.
Sure.
So here is that second one again.
How do you hear me speak?
Wow. And that's still like just awesomely clear. The fact that you have clearer stuff than that is great.
Well, the real advantage was the clarity. Now that particular clip was pretty clear, but the main purpose to know about that one is that I asked question after question after that with no response. So the biggest change between 2.0 and 3.0 was the continued conversation.
Interesting. So what do we want to play here? There's Staticom 3.0 responses.
Yeah, do responses. Okay. Now, again, you're not going to hear any scientifically asked questions. This sure. response was the night we got it working or the next night. And I came home from work, I flipped it on, and I just started asking random non-scientific questions just to see if they would answer.
Okay, well, let's check that out.
Rathman, I heard you say Rathman. Yes. What did you want to say to Roger? It's Tony.
Wow.
Spirits, can you hear me? Yes, okay. That was a loud voice that just answered. What's your name? That's a strange name. How many spirits wow. are here with us right now? A lot? A lot, yeah, that's what I thought you said. Because there's so many of you, is that why all the background chatter? They're talking? Do you have any messages for us?
Wow.
Rathman, I heard that.
The by name is wild because that happened more than once inside of there.
Oh, yes.
And now, how do they, because of course there's going to be people out there that are like, well, you know, he's using a private band radio, you know, something like that. How do you, how does Staticom in the enclosure and the circuitry keep all of that from interference?
Sure. Okay, so multiple ways. And I'm just going to add, I'm not going to say his name, but we, and this is one of the challenges too with bringing in science, is we had a very, very prominent electrical engineer and computer scientist take a look at the actual components. We wanted to know, is there risk for an external signal coming in? Sure. And I literally went through every piece, every component, every connection with that person. He came back and he said, yes, you do have a problem. Your problem's with the white noise generator. He said it is encased in a plastic case. He said this needs to be shielded in metal, EMI
yep.
resistant casing. Then he suggested wrapping it to further eliminate any possibility of EMI or a signal penetrating it. So we did all that. Then he said, you know what? Now you got to ground it. Yeah. Not only internally grounded, but put a pole, shove it into the ground a foot and a half and ground it into the earth.
Yeah.
And he said, if you still then receive voices, okay. Well,
yeah.
Guess
yeah. At
what?
That point, you've basically made a very tiny Faraday cage.
Well, we even wrapped it in military-grade Faraday material on top of it, because Faraday will only take out higher signals, not the lower ones. But again, no effect, no resistance on any of the voices coming through.
Wow. And that is incredible to know that you have gone through those painstaking efforts, because it can, you know, it's pretty fascinating with radio waves, exactly what can get through and how it can affect things.
Correct.
There was it was Flightless Bird, a podcast that my wife listens to, where the guy's like me, he's like an audio engineer, and moved and had just some strange noise that was coming through, and he ended up spending thousands of dollars, like floating a copper wall outside of his, like, that's what he went through. It ended up like it was a 5G tower, like a mile away. He just happened to be at this perfect harmonic spot.
Right.
Where without that that grounded copper plate outside, he could hear it, and it was affecting things in his studio. You know?
Right. The other thing that tells us that we've now avoided that, I mean, the last test he told me to do was take a high voltage emitter and place it next to, not then watch your spectrograph.
Sure.
And when that thing sparks, see if you're getting any, you know, interference when that thing sparks. He said, if you don't, you're good. It's secure. So that's the last test we have to do on that. But the other thing, though, is that random interference, whether it be from a G5 tower, a satellite, whatever, they'd be random answers. The answers that you're hearing are both timing and relevant to the question I asked.
Yeah.
The mathematical possibility of that occurring by some random interference signal is billions to one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And especially with the radio frequencies, things like that, the sweeping, you can get all kinds of stuff that starts to make sense.
Oh yeah. You can make it make sense.
But to this note, and to the point to which this technology is now, of course, are you using any kind of proprietary algorithms, things like that, to process this data, Tony?
Nope.
No.
The white noise is strictly processed from studio. What's the word I'm looking for? Programs that will denoise. Monitor frequency, take voice if it identifies voice and preserve it, but nothing that's going to create speech. There's no AI, there's no word banks, there's nothing. There's not even a mic. It's a closed circuit system from white noise to the filtration, and these voices come out.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was getting to, was like, you are, because hey, like right here behind me sits a server that's just been built that is a standalone AI. It does not connect to the internet, things like that, so it is specifically for research, so it can be untainted and trained as a large language model on these kind of things.
Nice.
You could totally, if you have enough memory inside of a Raspberry Pi, you could run a large language model and have it generate something, things like that.
That we don't have. We don't need to be hooked to the internet to run this. Nothing more than white noise generator to filtration to an output speaker. That's it.
Wow. Absolutely awesome, man. And as things have progressed with this, what are you looking at for the next version, for 4.0? What other options are you looking at?
Well, I mean, we've gotten to the point where the speech is pretty darn clear. And another clip or two, you'll hear the difference. The last one you played was before the last upgrade. But we're always looking to make sure that no one in the room hears something different. We want 100% clarity from every person hearing it. Said, yep, that's what I heard too. That's what it said. So clarity is always important. The length of the conversation was important. We've made huge strides toward that. But then the next step is, how far can we push the boundaries? What will they share with us? Where do we hit a wall where they stop speaking? Because we know that wall exists. And we call them universal laws that they're not allowed to interrupt, change, or affect the life that we were put here to learn, grow, and evolve from. And if they were to interact or disrupt that, they're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, Federation rule. No interference.
Right, exactly. But, you know, how much information can they tell us? How far can we push? Can I ask who built the pyramids? Will they answer? Did Atlantis exist? Question after question after question. Then there's things like, okay, if this is coming from spirits with non-locality, meaning I can get these voices anywhere, and we never consider a place haunted based on the fact that we're getting voices because they don't need to be there.
Yeah.
Then how is that data being transmitted? Can that change internet speeds? Can we create some unbelievable, even faster than fiber optics? Who knows? Yeah. But there's so much to learn from this.
Well, especially when you're talking about that idea of the non-local consciousness, Tony, and the fact that, yes, if a place is haunted, the spirit doesn't need to be there.
Right.
To make, like, it doesn't have to physically inhabit that space in order to be
heard.
And that also brings to light a different point when it comes to poltergeist activity and, you know, the traditional haunting that you hear about of, you know, bad spirits living in a place, things like that. And their possible connection to actions that have happened there. Like, is that the case? You know, so, yeah.
Right. I mean, there's always for every answer we get, there's 100 more questions that come up from that answer. But, I mean, the old saying, and I don't know why the name's eluding me, the guy that always went up against Edison.
Tesla,
thank you. Tesla said, if you want to understand the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Now, if you're talking about a door opening or a plate flying out, what does it take to do that? Energy, frequency, and vibration.
Yeah.
And people always say, well, how can a spirit speak? They don't have vocal cords. You don't need vocal cords. You pluck a guitar string and it makes noise. The energy is your thumb. The string vibrates and produces a sound off of that vibration.
Yeah.
And then I say to them, well, does your radio have vocal cords? Well, no. Well, what are you hearing? Speech. How's that happening? Energy, frequency, and vibration.
Right. Yeah. And properly channeled, you start getting things like resonance frequency and stuff like that's the whole way things interact totally.
And that is half the part of Staticom, that how we believe this is happening. The white noise being entered creates stochastic resonance. And because the white noise generator, unlike a radio, the white noise generator has a spectral frequency of 1, meaning every sound is at the exact same level. When a spirit speaks, their voice overlaps some of those frequencies in the broadband spectrum of stochastic resonance, 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. Then their voice gets elevated up through the resonance, but the white noise does not get elevated. It stays at the level it's going through at. So we can cut the white noise out, leaving just the voice.
Yeah. And that is a really, really interesting way of processing. It's honestly the way that a lot of algorithmic noise reduction works in music, things like that.
Exactly.
You know, even normalization, that kind of stuff, where you're bringing certain frequencies up to a normalized level to make sure that
we're actually bringing them into the range of our human hearing is what we're doing, because they're outside of that to begin with. But the other thing to know is that white noise contains no vocal data whatsoever.
That's right.
So what that means is that voice is existing somewhere else, and the white noise through stochastic resonance is bringing it out. Now, where exactly does that exist? Is it in the computer? But it's the ghost in the machine effect.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, when you're talking about a turned radio dial, things like that is not necessarily full white noise.
No.
You were talking about cross bands of all kinds of stuff that are near each other or further away that you can't hear.
Correct. Like, and there's bands that can overlap each other, filter in, change their frequency, and end up on another. We don't run that risk with broadband white noise.
Yeah, precisely. So, and that is the difference between this and your typical spirit box, things like that.
Absolutely. Folks,
which is what I love about this technology. It's absolutely awesome. And I think really a game breaker and a changer of the field when it comes to this, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, before we let you, we've got about 10, 15 more minutes. Let's hear another sure. set of answers here, just so we can hear the even more refined version that there is now.
Sure.
Which one would you like me to play?
I'm trying to remember the names.
There is Staticom 3, fourth round of testing. We acknowledge you. Settings, Lennon.
Let's go to We Acknowledged You, and let me just explain this. We used to run a haunted hospital in Ajo, Arizona. It was the old Phelps Dodge Hospital for about 4 years. Well, then it got sold, and then it got sold again. Well, we had an opportunity last week to go back down there. And after 4 years of being in there 3-4 days a week, spending nights in there, sleeping in there, recording, we had EVP after EVP after EVP. Well, we took Staticom down to see if we could get some of the spirits that we knew were there to speak. And this is where the next clip you're going to play was done.
All right, let's listen to it.
Perfect. What's the name of this hospital, spirits?
Well, that was it. Phelps.
Spirits, can you hear me? Yes or no? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'd like to talk to some of the spirits in this hospital. Do you remember me? I'm Tony. Do you remember me? I would like to speak to Michael. Is he still here?
Yeah.
Michael, are you there?
Yeah.
Michael, do you remember saying hi to me loud and clear that I could hear you with my own ears? Do you remember that, Michael?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. And once again, the speed with which responses come through, and the accuracy to the question, because it's not like it's randomized data. There are a couple responses there that are near to what you're asking, but related, kind of like another voice crossing in.
Correct. There's multiple voices. When we annotate, we only annotate the main answer to the question asked. But if you listen to even the background voices, they're talking about the same question. Mm-hmm. They're just conversing amongst themselves. But the fact that we could call out for Michael, have him say, yeah, I'm here. I remember plain as day having him say hi to me in a darkened hallway at 2 a.m. scared the crap out of me because I heard it with my own ears. And his answer was, yes, we acknowledged you.
Man, and the idea that an intelligence is there and behind that.
Correct.
That it recognizes you, that it knows who you are, and that it is in the same place. Now, have you ever, I guess, tried to use Staticom to help spirits cross over, things like that?
Well, you know what? The whole idea of crossing over, there's no real scientific evidence that any crossing over has to occur. So if they're not bound by time and space, and if you start to look into quantum theory. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name, but he was a computer scientist. He created microchips. But he released, oh, why is his name eluding me? I don't know why. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he released a theory that crosses between quantum theory and the fact that consciousness is the ontological primitive of life. And it's a perfect theory for how I believe things actually occur and work.
Well, yeah, I mean, once again, the idea that the idea of crossing over means that there is, I guess, a heaven, a hell, something along those lines, instead of us just transforming into, as we said earlier, a different frequency.
Correct.
And moving to another locality, period.
And the whole invention of time and space is a man-made construct.
Yes.
So if those don't exist for them, those aren't necessarily heavens here and hells there. You could go through your own heaven or hell anywhere based on what kind of mental thought you're having. Yeah. Or how you feel your conditions are. So I don't, or we don't necessarily think that there is necessarily a crossing over. We think they can literally at the thought process be anywhere they want at any time, at a blink of a thought.
Now, that brings up, because one of the things that I mention regularly on the show, I've done paranormal investigation, things like that. We brought mediums on site, all kinds of things, but it was rarely the medium is going to ask questions as we go through the evening. There's a whole idea of something either lying to you during that process or possibly attaching itself to you.
Right.
Have you had any instances like that from your use of Statacom? And have you had any violent episodes, violent reactions from the spirits that have communicated to you from Statacom?
We had one violent reaction. We were in Gettysburg, actually.
Okay.
And we did get, and eventually we let the thing ramble and scream and cuss. And then eventually, I can't remember, I think we turned it off just because it was a little unsettling. But we've never had any problem or connection or attachment from Statacom with vocals, because it's, you know, and people ask us, well, is there any residual energy around you after you stop doing one?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be like if I went over to the neighbor's house, sat down for an hour, hour and a half, had a cup of coffee and talked. When I got up and left, you could sense body heat on the chair I was sitting in. I might have left cells or hairs. Sure. Or something. But if we did that over the internet with a video call, there'd be no sense or any form of leftover energy or anything that I was there, because I was never there, but yet the connection is still there. We believe Statacom falls along that same lines.
Okay. Okay. What about the point of self-manifestation and actualization within that? And even the idea of you as the person visiting may not have left any residual energy, but the energy of our conversation and the way I received it may have manifested that residual energy.
Okay, that's a great point. I guess I'm going to say we haven't gone down that research area yet, so I can't speak to it with any certainty, but something that we're definitely going to have to take a look into, because, you know, when you talk about if consciousness is the ontological primitive and, you know, the whole theory of thoughts become reality and change reality and affect reality, then simple things like we just discussed could definitely
Yeah.
Have manifestations on the arena.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. You know, it's something that I bring up regularly when it comes to the world of paranormal investigation, even Bigfoot, stuff like that. Like if you are getting hype for your investigation for a couple days and, you know, doing anything beyond going through your rote checklist of what to pack and, okay, here's my Google Map directions. If you're like diving down the rabbit hole of stories and going down YouTube videos of the haunted location for a couple days, like you're polishing the filter through which you're going to look at data.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
You may well be manifesting something at that location through your point of intent.
No, very true. Very true.
So I was just wondering if you had experienced that at any point during your use of Staticom, or if you guys had specifically geared any experiments toward testing that.
Not yet, but we definitely will now.
Yeah, it's a phenomenological thing that I think is really interesting. And once again, now that we are the world of science and paranormal is being bridged in that kind of way, I think it's a totally different discussion.
Agreed.
Even going to PsyGames this last month, I've said it for years that I belong to a lot of communities, but out of all of them, remote viewing has more letters and commas behind people's names, man. Like laser physicists and like propulsion physicists, stuff like that. Wow. beyond the world of UFO UAP. And it's really, really wild because that is something that, as parapsychological as it is, Tony, it was birthed in a lab. Yeah. Like it was birthed through lab work. So it's kind of wild to know, like, yeah, all of that stuff came from pure, once again, physics thought experiment, and it's out there and it's real. And stuff that's metricable. So, interesting. I love what you're doing. It's great. The technology that you are using and leveraging with Staticom is next level, man. It's really great.
We've got
a couple minutes left before we let you go. Where can people go to get involved? Where can they go to support? Where can they go to get? Is Staticom available to the general public right now?
Not yet. Yeah, no, not yet. There's only one. When we get into the partnership with Samuel from Brazil, he's going to create one on his side, and we're going to work on taking 3.0 to 4.0. But I can be found on a website called entityvoices.com. I can be found on Facebook.
It's okay.
Excuse me.
No worries.
Under Tony Rathman. If you go to YouTube, if you just look up Staticom, all of these links are also on the entityvoices.com website. And you can find the Facebooks, the YouTubes, but the TikTok, Instagram. We're about on every site showing where places we're going to be, where we're giving demonstrations. You can see podcasts after podcasts as the system evolved throughout the last 4 years. You're under investigations that we've done. Those were done. We started in 2010.
Wow.
Those are some of the places that we investigated, but there's a Staticom blog. You can look at things we're looking at, the different research things we want to expand on, the concerns, you know, is society ready for something like this? What are the dangers involved? All sorts of things.
Well, and, you know, especially when you you have to talk about dangers, and you have to be willingly open talk about dangers.
Correct.
You know, whether you're talking CE5 contact, there's a lot of talk right now in the UFO UAP community about psionic control, psionic contact, things like that. Amazing people like Chris Bledsoe out there, summoning light craft, all kinds of things. But, you always have to be careful you know, right. Because I think intent has a lot to do with that. And if you are not very, it's one of those, if your intent with a genie is not very, very, very clear, you may get that 1,000 pounds of gold in a way you do not intend.
Do not want. Right.
Maybe a truck with 1,000 pound of gold hits you. You know, there's your 1,000 pounds. The genie fulfilled his part, you know, so those things play by a different set of rules. And
exactly.
And we aren't even close, I don't think, to burgeoning on the rule book, Tony, is the only.
I agree.
Good people like you out there using science, going through this thing with fine-tooth combs the way you are is fantastic. And I want to have you on again and again to talk about updates to this, the technology, all kinds of things. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. It was great to talk about it.
Same.
And I'll come back anytime. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll go ahead and let you go so that we can move on to the next guest. But we will be sending links, everything else here in the morning. So take care.
Sounds good.
Thanks so much for your time this evening. Absolutely. Man, what an incredible, incredible episode. I've been wanting to talk to Tony for a long time. And I'm sorry, folks, sometimes it takes me as a one-man band a while to get to the point of tracking somebody down and really doing my research on them and what they're doing and what the technology is. And once again, once I really dug heels into what Tony was doing with Staticom and the technology behind it and the fact that it is not just scanning through radio frequencies, it's some beautiful stuff, and it's amazing to see what he's doing. I am very excited to see what the future holds for them. When we come back from this quick commercial break, we will be joined by Krista Michael Tweedy as well as Brandy Butcher from Blondes and Booze. We will be talking about their experiences with the paranormal, their investigations that they have been on, an amazing Bigfoot experience they had, as well as the Crossing Realms Conference coming up in Missouri. All of that and more right after this.
The key to good science is good research. At the heart of good research is a good data set. With the field observation and encounter log from Curious Research, you can easily keep track of your investigative information all in one place, making it easier to review cases and readily see comparisons and contrasts between them. Whether out in the woods squatching, in a back room gathering EVPs, or using high-tech gear to track UFO UAP activity, this easy-to-carry, pocket-sized scientific data log is the perfect companion for any field researcher. You can find your copy of the Curious Research Field Observation and Encounter Log at Amazon.com or visit the official Curious Realm store at CuriousRealm.com/store to reserve your copy for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is CuriousRealm.com/store.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back from that quick break. Thank you so much for staying tuned. Also, thank you so much to our sponsors, especially True Hemp Science. If you are a user of CBD products like I am, stop on by True Hemp Science. I've been using their product for years. Christopher Lynch and True Hemp Science use a spigeric process to extract everything from the hemp plant, using every part of the plant, seeds, stems, buds, fiber, roots. Every part of the plant is used, combusted, reused, and an amazing product results, complete with terpene profiles and more. Stop on by, check them out. TrueHempScience.com is the website that you want to go to. Curious7 is the code that you want to use to save 7% off your entire cart of $50 or more. While you are there, make sure to stop on by Eventbrite and check out the Crossing Realms Conference. There are still tickets available. This is going to be an amazing paranormal UFO cryptid conference going on in Richmond, Missouri. It is being hosted by our friends and organized by our friends from Blondes and Booze, Krista Michael Tweedy and Brandy Butcher. Welcome back, Brandy, and welcome, Krista. How are you guys doing tonight?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Before we get into the conference, all that kind of stuff, how you guys came up with this and what it's all about, what people can expect, how did you guys meet to begin with? And it's always interesting to hear how somebody finds a research partner, how somebody finds that person to go out with every weekend. So how did you guys, A, individually get into the paranormal, and how did y'all come together to begin with?
Right. So I was a member of a team out of St. Louis for many years. And then, you know, we did events at haunted locations and that kind of good stuff. And throughout the years, and Brandy attended an event, and we met and we became fast friends, and we've been friends for a long time now. So we're not only friends, you know, on the show, but, you know, we also hang out outside of the show as well.
All right. And what about you, Brandy?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how it began. I was basically with a different team, and I had left that team, and I had met Krista in the meantime, and we just kind of clicked. And she called me up one day and said, hey, I'm on this podcast with another friend of mine, Aaron Eck, and would you like to join? I said, sure, why not? You know, she says, yeah, just come on, see how you like it, blah, blah, blah. So we did a couple shows together. And then after that, they asked me to come on permanently. So I ended up here.
Yeah. Wow. That's it. And, you know, organic growth paths like that are so awesome, especially once again, once you start working together with somebody in a different capacity than what you're used to working with people. So how long have you guys been together investigating paranormal?
I don't know what year, Brandy.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know it's been more than 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it's been more than 5 years.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And
we've done a lot of investigations together.
I was just about to say, give us an example of some of the investigations that you guys have been on, not just locally there, but, also abroad.
Yeah. So, we've done, you know, some private cases. We have, you know, done different haunted locations. Brandy's the one that likes to travel. She loves to travel and get out in the field and go to a lot of the well-known places. Me, myself, I'm not so much of a traveler. And so I stick around, you know, Missouri, Illinois, Kansas, okay, Arkansas, you know, all the states that surround Missouri is pretty much where I stick to. And, like I said, we've gone to the Land Between the Lakes, you know, and done the paranormal slash cryptid thing.
Okay.
Mayus Village is one of our home bases. And, so we investigate there a lot, and both on the paranormal side, there's UFO activity there. There's cryptid activity there. So, we're all the time.
Wow. Wow. And amongst that, what are some of the things that you guys have come across as far as data? What kind of things have y'all collected while out in the field?
Brandy, why don't you answer that? Because you have one of the best paranormal pictures I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, actually, I went with my daughter, and we decided that we were going to go to the Crescent Hotel down in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Now, this place is notorious for the hauntings. And, you know, me being from the Missouri state, I'm like, hey, you're going to have to show me. You know, so I'm like, OK, let's do this. So we went down there. My daughter was fascinated by the whole place. And we decided that we were going to just investigate the hotel one night. They do tours because it is a historical place. So they do tours quite a bit, and they last, you know, till about 11 o'clock at night. So we decided we were going to get up and we were going to go investigate. So we were just probably, I don't know, about 20, 25 steps from our actual hotel room. And I'm like, I'm going to take a picture out this window. I said, you know, just stand behind me because the lights were on. It was dark outside. So you could see the outline of my head and my body. I said, just stand behind me. So, you know, we don't have all these glares and stuff. She said, okay. So she stood behind me. And when I took a picture, this is actually it's a one in a million type of picture. On one side of me coming down the staircase there, just a little bitty staircase, there was a full bodied apparition, full colored woman standing there, and you can even see where she had her hair up in a type of an updo. You could see that it was actually parted down the middle. You could see that she had pearls on, a shawl. Wow. And there was actually nobody else that was female that was in this picture. Now, in the top, there was a guy that was walking through, but he's very faint, but he's very up at the very top. But she's just coming down these stairs like, this was her place and she belonged there. And she was giving a look kind of like over the shoulder kind of look.
Well, Chris, I just sent the picture to your messenger.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You'll have to be able to blow it up to see what I'm talking about.
I sent him the one that was blown up that you did.
Yeah.
That you gave me the other night.
Right, right. So, but if you're looking at this picture, you know, you clearly see her standing there. But on the other side of me, there is another apparition in a different type of manifestation, which is the one that people most commonly talk about, is the white, ghostly, misty type thing. And it was standing directly on the other side of me. So while I'm standing there taking the picture, I've got two apparitions in two totally different manifestations. It was just a one in a million shot. And everybody was asking me, hey, you know, was there furniture there, pictures there? You know, I went back the next day and I videoed the whole entire hallway. There's not one piece of furniture, not a picture, not flowers. There is nothing in this hallway. Nothing. And I caught this picture and I was just completely, amazed. Like I said, it's a one in a million picture just for a snap. I just thought, hey, I'm going to take this picture and there it is. Yeah. You know,
it's a once in a lifetime capture.
Yeah.
And here's the actual picture in our system.
Yes. Do you see the lady by the stairwell?
Yeah, right here you can see. Kind of a head.
Okay, that's the one.
Right, that's one. There's the other.
Yeah. So, yeah. And fascinating, you know, especially nobody there at the time, nobody on the other side of the stairwell. How do you explain something like that occurring?
Oh, there is really no good explanation. I mean, as much evidence as we're trying to catch and verify and validate and all of this, I don't know how they're appearing. I'm assuming that they are a manifestation of an energy type haunting, which would I would say it'd be like a loop. Like they just kind of like show up here and I wouldn't call these two particularly like intellectual hauntings. I would call these more like
residual?
I don't know, like a residual type thing because they just showed up in those pictures. They weren't trying to communicate with us. They weren't moving anything, doing anything. They just showed up in the picture. I did go downstairs and I did show the lady at the, you know, the front desk. And I'm like, look what I caught here. She's like, wow. She goes, I want you to do me a favor and go over. And it was the other side of the lobby. And they have like a little desk and pictures of the, you know, the way it used to be. She goes, there is a picture of a lady sitting there and I want you to look at that. So I went over there and I looked at it. And sure enough, it looks just like her. Just like her. And she kind of explained to me that she just kind of shows up in pictures.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, there's, especially when you start talking about digital photography, things like that, things yes. get a little bit different than a physical copy of something that takes chemicals to exude. And the realm of investigation on that takes on a different tone is the easiest way to put it because, you really do have to start looking into a lot of, like how old the camera was, what kind of camera it was. Digital photography is interesting because there are a lot of things that get filled in as blanks. in digital photography, as far as artifacts and stuff like that. But this is a pretty interesting catch of an image to see. And yeah, you know, somebody may ask, like, hey, it looks like you're looking through a piece of glass, like you can see reflection here. Maybe that's from an image on the other side of the glass. You know, maybe maybe it's from reflection or being refracted from the other hallway even. I don't know. I don't know. That
well, the thing about it is there was nobody outside. That's an emergency stairwell. In the original picture, I think there is a sign above the door that it says emergency exit and all of that. They do not use that. Like I said, it's just for fires or in, you know, anything like that. So people can get out. That's all it's used for. And, you know, we say that we're not out here to make anybody believe. We're just here to show you what we catch, our evidence, and it's up to you to believe what you, you know, what you would like to.
Well, because I mean,
there are so many things out there. And Krista and I talk about it all the time that your reputation is everything. So I would never, ever put out anything that I would believe that could be something else.
Yeah.
Well, if I haven't exhausted every possibility out there.
And that's just it. You know, when it comes to things like this, it's very easy to come across a lot of people that would look at this in different lights, you know. So the idea of keeping the open mind, the idea of being able to not only look at an image, but examine an image and be willing to put that experience to the test. So it's fantastic that you guys do that, because it is absolutely necessary to go through those rigors whenever you're talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Our saying is, when in doubt, throw it out.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Now, let's get into some other investigations that you guys have done. What other things have you guys come across in your time?
Oh, wow. Where do we want to begin, Brandy?
I know. That is a wide scope right there. I mean, we've come across, you know, your typical hauntings, like what we would say shadow people or things like that. We've also come across orbs and things that we can't explain, things that have their own light source. They're creating their own light source that there would be nothing in that area that could create that. We have seen, again, full-bodied apparitions. We have seen, I have seen some crazy, crazy things where I can actually see people that were moving. I actually call him the glimmer guy, the glimmer man. I've seen him, actually, I've seen him at Ohio State Reformatory, where you have to really look at him, but you could see this blue ball following in, you know, when you come into the room and sit at the very back of the room, and you can see it, and it kind of moves around the room. But if you look closely at it and start trying to communicate with it, it will get brighter and then it will get dim. But then at one point, I actually saw that it had legs, that it was actually walking through, you know, this room that we were in, which was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had, as in a visual. That was like, I can't explain it. I can't explain it. The hard part was, is we couldn't film it. When we would try to put it to film, it would just look like just part of the room. You know, it would be like a slight little glow, like a glare or something, but it didn't look like what we were looking at the time. And we tried to take photos of it. We tried everything and just couldn't get it. I don't know what the problem was. I mean, but then again, when you're dealing with the paranormal, a lot of things can happen.
That's right.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I'm sorry about the dogs barking.
Oh, no, that's okay. There's nothing you can do about a dog barking. No. So with that in mind, what if, Krista, what has been thus far working with Blondes and Booze and working with Brandy, what has been the most incredible experience that you have had on site?
Wow, that's a good one. Wow, I don't even know where to begin with that one. We have witnessed so many different types of things together that I really can't just name one. I mean, we've had multiple encounters, everything from, you know, funny things at the museum to, you know, kind of some scary stuff too out in the middle of the woods. So, you know, I can't really say that one thing in particular sticks out. You know, we just we've just done so much together that, you know, it's hard to pinpoint one thing. But I will say, like, you know, we enjoy going out into the middle of the woods. That's kind of I guess now where our adrenaline rushes, it gets both of us, you know, and so we both enjoy that. And you know, the things we've seen out there and heard out there, and, you know, orbs, they're a true thing. You know, we've both witnessed it, different colors, different sizes. And you know, it's just things like that. And you know, Brandy's my partner. You know, we can talk about these things to each other, and we both witnessed it, and we get it. You know, we're all the time like, you know, oh, I can't figure that one out. And we're like, I can't figure that one out. What do you think that is? I have no idea. You know, it's one of those. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about you, Brandy? Which experience for you on location stands out the most?
Well, you know, it has to be our Bigfoot encounter. Absolutely. Yeah. Number one, our Bigfoot encounter.
Well, tell us about it.
And, you know, I'd have to let Krista start the story because it starts with her, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were in Ava, Missouri, and it was at a private location. It was we had been at a conference that day in Springfield, Missouri, and we were staying. It was a camp out with several of the speakers and a few attendees. And it was, you know, there was a storm coming in, and we were all sitting around a fire, and the storm was supposed to just kind of blow over. It wasn't supposed to be that bad. Well, lo and behold, it was awful. It was terrible. It blew tents down. It took our cook tent away. It was awful. Yeah. And so by then, you know, we're kind of, this was kind of, I would say, close to midnight, I would say, guessing. So after the storm came through, we walked around, looked at all the damage. You know, some people lost their tent, so they had to go to their vehicles and sleep. And so we sat around the fire for a little bit longer, and it was about 2:30 in the morning. And, we're like, you know, it's probably time to go to bed. And, by then, you know, as I said, the storm had come through. So Brandy had an air mattress. Well, she was done with the air mattress by the time the storm came through. So she went to sleep in her car, but I was on a cot. So I was up off the floor. Okay. And, I'm laying there. I always play on my phone before I go to bed. It was games. It just, you know, kind of chills my mind out. And so I'm on my phone, and I start hearing something come up from behind the tent. And so, you know, like, my head's right here. Here's the wall of the tent. And then I could hear the noise out back. So, you know, I'm hearing it, and it's getting closer and closer. And then, so, you know, my phone's put down at this time. I'm just laying there. I'm kind of freaking out. I'm like, okay, because weird stuff runs through my mind, like the Ozark howler, and, you know, not a raccoon, you know, Ozark howler, sure, or something like that, I'm thinking. And, but it's big. You can definitely tell it's big. And so it walks to the other side of the tent, and it walked past, and I kind of seen a shadow go by. But then it turned around and it came back that same way, and it walked slow. It kind of, you know, went slower, and we got with the moon out. The moon was full by then, and it was shining down the way that the shadow was. I could see it was not human. It definitely had a longer head. It was not human. And I saw it from the shoulder up. So it went around the tent, and I just heard it kind of dissipate. You know, it kind of moved away from the tent. But it lasted, I would say, around my tent a good 2 minutes. And 2 minutes can last a long time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's an extended period.
Yes. And so when I looked at my phone, it was 3:12 in the morning. So then this is where Brandy comes in.
Right. So, yeah, she said that we were at the conference. And we'd been camping out a couple days. So, you know, we were exhausted, you know, I'm going to say we were ripe. We'd been out there for, you know, primitive camping, you know, sure, no shower. So it was kind of like we'd gone through the storm. We were supposed to go out hiking. We were supposed to go for a hike, you know, in the middle of the night. And then we couldn't do that because, you know, everything was just completely muddy and everything. So we wouldn't be able to see anything even if something had been out there. And so I decided I'm going to go sleep in the car. Sorry. Okay. And then I decided I'm going to sleep in the driver's side, because that one, you know, it leans back pretty far, almost all the way down, which is a great thing. And I had a sleeping bag. Well, after the rain, it had turned kind of chilly. So I was in my sleeping bag, but I had my face in my sleeping bag, and it was like, I was breathing in it to keep myself kind of warm, because it had chilled off pretty, you know, pretty good. Yeah. And as I was there, I heard this, like, this tapping on the front of my car, and I was like, what is that? And then I just, like, I'm just too tired for this. I'm thinking maybe it's a raindrop, something coming through, another cloud, who knows? So I didn't listen anymore to it. And then all of a sudden I started hearing footsteps going around my car, and I'm thinking, all right, did one of the ladies get up? Because we never let each other go out to use the restroom by ourselves. It's sure. Just there's too many apex predators out there. Yeah. We just don't. So I leaned up real slow because I'm groggy by this time because I'm just so exhausted. I lean up and I'm looking at the tent. Now I can see the tent out the passenger or at the driver's side door. And as I'm looking, I'm not noticing any lights. I'm not noticing the tent open, anything like that. So I'm like, what's going on here? So I'm like, okay. So I just kind of pan across the car and out the passenger side door. When I look out the passenger side door, there was something standing there, and it was right on the corner of the back of the tent that was, you know, next to us. And I'm thinking, what is that? I'm trying to wrap my head around this because, you know, I am so groggy. And I'm like, that looks like a man. And then I'm like, That's way too big to be a man. So my next thought is because we're in bear country, I'm thinking, okay, this has got to be a bear. And I'm looking at it, and then I'm like, wait, this thing doesn't have shoulders. Or this thing has shoulders. Bears don't have shoulders. So I'm like, oh, okay, so what's next? And then I'm thinking, oh, my God, it's Bigfoot. I'm looking at Bigfoot right there. You know, and wow. Again, she yeah. was talking about the moonlight, and the moonlight was shining on the back of it to where it really darkened the front of it. So I couldn't see hardly any, like, any facial features or anything like that, that, you know, that would help me out in describing it. But I can tell you that this thing, it's probably its chest was probably 2.5 feet wide. Its shoulders were just super enormous. It had the conical head, of course. And then you just noticed the hairs. The hairs were coming down. I'm losing my voice a little bit.
That's all right.
But you could see the hairs, you know, kind of glistening there. Just a hair, you know, just a little bit. But you could definitely see them in the outline of it. And as I'm watching it, then it starts to have that swaying movement that people sometimes talk about, you know, just swaying back and forth. And I'm thinking, is this thing looking at me? Mm. Can it see me? Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking to myself, if I pick up my phone, it's going to see the light from my phone. Do I want to attract its attention? And I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do that. You know, and then always, 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 when we go out into the woods, we always have protection. And unfortunately, that was in the seat behind me on the floor, which my chair was laying down on, so I didn't have any access to that just in case. Didn't have that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, do I turn on my lights? Do I honk my horn? And then I'm thinking, I don't know what's going to happen. Will this startle this thing, make it aggressive? Or, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do here. So I'm just thinking, why is this happening? And I can't take a picture of it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, there was other things going on in my mind, but it was more or less like this thing could take 3 to 5 steps and be at my car.
Sure.
And it could bust the window out and have me out of my car before anyone could get out of their tent.
Yeah.
So that fear kind of started creeping in a little bit. And so I'm like, well, I'm just going to slowly lay myself back down and put my head right back in the sleeping bag and just, you know, kind of let it do its thing, you know, let it just move on or just, you know, let it do its thing is basically what I was meaning. Yeah. And so I just kind of sat there for a little while listening to it. And then I started hearing it walk off. So I'm like, okay, It's walking off. And then right about that time, I don't know if it was exhaustion. I don't know what happened, the adrenaline, but it was kind of like an adrenaline dump. Mm. I just kind of just passed out, went to sleep. Yeah. That was it. As soon as that fear and that rush, you know, went away, it was just like I was out. And then I woke up probably about 3 hours later. I didn't sleep that long. About 3 hours later, and I could hear all this hustle and bustle going on outside. I could hear people talking and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why is everybody up? And then I'm like, oh. And as soon as I opened my car, they're like, wait, wait, wait. Watch where you're walking. We had a visitor last night. And I said, I know. I saw it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. And, you know, once again, the idea of 2 minutes, that is a prolonged experience as opposed mm-hmm. to a typical sighting. That is a good stretch of time. And even when you're talking time dilation from adrenaline, things like that, that is a good.
And she's right. The adrenaline dump is a true thing because same thing happened to me. You know, I was scared. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I was scared because, you know, I'm in a tent. I'm thinking it could just reach right in there and get me. And I actually sat up on my cot because my head was right at the end, you know, so I crashed too. And people say, well, how'd you go to sleep? Well, you don't understand. Like, adrenaline dump is a true thing. And like, I went to sleep and I'm with Brandy. You know, I got up right before she did.
Yeah. Well, we've had the discussion about people have they've named it being zapped.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, it's just kind of like it just takes all the energy out of you. Like the, you know, like a Sasquatch can do that. They can just zap it right out of you. And I don't know. It makes me believe that it's true.
I think it's much more the just as an anxiety sufferer and, mm-hmm. and panic sufferer. That is exactly what happens after the beginnings mm-hmm. of an anxiety attack. It's the fact of within 30, 40 minutes, like you better find somewhere to lay down because you have no energy left. And yeah, when you're talking, doesn't matter what the paranormal experience, you're in a heightened state to begin with. Because you're in a peaked state of performance. Yeah. You are looking for and listening for things, stuff like that. So you're already in an adrenalized mm-hmm. state to begin with, much less having an actual experience, which, you know, I bring that up all the time whenever people are like, how come there's never a good picture? And I'm like, well, I am a cameraman with 30 years experience. Broadcast, mm-hmm. sports, all kinds of things. The reason why a football stays in focus, folks, when you're watching NFL, that is a $60,000 lens that is made to keep a football in focus while you're moving a camera. That's right. Why. Yeah. That's why. it is a very specific lens made for that very specific mm-hmm. task, and it is being used for that task. If you were to take that same cameraman, put him into an adrenalized situation. His camera is not on. His camera is not ready. And something happens and he has 30 seconds in which to turn on a camera, get in position and get something good. You may not get a whole lot. And that's just coming at you from the experience. That's why, like, whenever I did event videography and mitzvahs and weddings and stuff like that, you brought batteries and batteries and batteries. Mm-hmm. You never cut the camera off. The camera stayed on 24/7. Mm-hmm. So that you are always ready to just hit record and start rolling. And you have pre-record function on so that it's actively, once you hit record, it was already buffering. So it picked up 3 seconds before you hit the record button when you hit the record button, things like that. So, it's interesting to me that it's never odd to me, rather, that we don't have.
Well, you know, there were other people there camping with us. And the thing is that everybody had an experience. Everybody heard it and all of this other kind of stuff. But yet nobody got any pictures. Yeah. They were probably in the same frame of mind we were. Hey, we're not coming out of this tent. We're not coming out of this
typically,
car.
Yeah, you are typically in the midst of experience thinking about that. You know, like that.
I wasn't
that
even
takes
thinking
a,
about pictures. Honestly, I wasn't.
Even if you were in a bank robbery. It takes a very specialized skill set to have the presence of mind to do things like dial 911 and put it in your back pocket. Yeah. When you are in an adrenalized emergency situation, it takes a very, very specialized skill set to think about such things, to even run the opposite direction.
Yep.
My trauma training teaches me, like, when you see everybody running, run the opposite way. Run the way of the noise. A, you'd be surprised how thin the crowd is. B, you're probably going to run across somebody that needs your help.
Right.
Probably. Right. So.
But yeah, the only thing I was thinking about my phone for is I'm like, well, I could try to get a hold of Krista in the tent.
Sure.
That's
sure.
all I was thinking about. But I'm like, I'm not picking that thing up. It's going to light up as soon as pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And I did though. And it didn't seem to bother the creature out there at all.
Sure.
I looked at my phone, but I had no service. That's the thing too. We didn't have any service down there.
We had no service. It would have done us no good.
Well, and the light penetrating a tent would probably be a little bit different than the light lighting up the windows of a car.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is too that, you know, that morning, like we were 100% validated, you know, like Brandy said, other people had encounters and their times, you know, mine was 3:12, you know, someone else's was just a few minutes after and then a few minutes after. And then, you know, we were there with trackers and we got 14-inch, impressions in the ground. And so, I mean, everything was just validated. It was pretty amazing, honestly.
Wow. Then, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are like, I would love that experience to happen to me. I don't necessarily know, you know?
Yeah.
Much like most of the books behind me that are written by people that have had experiences, like they don't start, like you may come to peace with them at some point in your life.
Sure.
But that typically is not what the initial response is to the experience, you know, it's normally slightly traumatic.
Had it been a indigenous, I guess, apex predator, such as a bear or something like that, I definitely would have flashed my lights. I would have honked my horn. I don't care who's sleeping. They don't need a bear out there. But when it came to this, I'm like, I have no idea what would happen. You know, how would it react? I mean, would it have its own panic attack? Would it make it angry? I don't know. Yeah. So I didn't want to put anybody in jeopardy of getting hurt by doing something like that, just trying to get somebody's attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was pretty incredible, you know, is just that everything just fell into place with the storm and, you know, It was pretty amazing, honestly. And now I look back and I think, you know, if that creature really wanted to hurt us, it could have, especially me being in the tent. I was very vulnerable and, you know, but it didn't, you know, I think it was just curious. And, you know, but then again, you hear like encounters like, you know, Bigfoot Michigan Rob's, his was awful. You know, but then what Brandy and I witnessed, you know, and we do believe, you know, like in a lot of the woo stuff as well. But what we saw was definitely, there wasn't any weirdness to it. It was literally, I heard it walking. I saw it, you know, it didn't disappear on us. It didn't, you know, nothing out of the woo side happened, you know, but, you know, you hear all these different people talk about, you know, oh, it walked into a portal or something like that. We didn't witness that, but I'm not saying it can't happen either, you know, just didn't with us. And we're fortunate that we had a nice one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, ultimately nice. Once again, not so nice in the midst of it.
Right. Right.
Not so comfortable, not so enjoyable. You know,
I was scared. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was scared. It was, you know, weird stuff kept crossing my mind and just,
You know, that is something that I bring up regularly on the show is the idea of, and my audience knows I have a rote phrase that I use at this moment. And that is that I believe that there is a large hominid creature roaming the woods of North America and beyond. But I think that there is also something else that is willing to use the trope of our minds as a point of access, and as their welcome mat, like quite literally as as that point of consent to enter. And that quite literally comes right to the point of like, well, because you went out there and you were looking for that, you know, it's no different than a CE5 experiencer.
Sure.
Like summoning a craft. Hopefully that's a good craft. Hopefully it's a craft and not something in the guise of a craft, you know. And even whenever I did paranormal investigation years ago, it was one of those, like, we would bring a medium, but there was no question asking.
Yeah.
It was like, we will not be asking questions. We will not be inviting such things to come home with us through through invitation of question and answering of question. Oh. Because, you know, you bring up that there's the whole concept spiritually of kind of owing something to the spirit in reciprocation, you know. So, there could be something that attaches to you from doing things like that. So you have to be really careful.
We do talk about that quite a bit with the whole mind speak phenomenon.
Sure.
I'm like, how do you know that it was a Sasquatch speaking with you? You know, what if it is something that is entirely different, that is just trying to get, you know, take its hold on you? What do you really know?
Well, and even a subconscious moment, you know, I talk about it regularly. The experience that I had that led me to the seminary, which was a state of bilocation. I was in two places at the same time. That may or may not be the case. I don't know. But that was my full-on experience at the age of 16 and a half that led me to enter the Roman Catholic Seminary and decide to possibly be a priest for the rest of my life. Now, it may come to the point that, hey, I may have petit mal seizures. Who knows? I haven't been diagnosed with that in my life. But should that be, and the doctor's like, well, yeah, that explains the experience you had at 16, Chris. That does not remove the beautiful moment that changed me. That doesn't that doesn't remove my experience, you know. It doesn't remove that moment. The way I explain it is where your keyhole has been widened with a crowbar.
Yes.
And when that moment happens, it doesn't matter if a picture or an audio recording or a video recording is proven later, or what's in the red circle is proven. You are still contributed to the scientific data field, and to the known quantitative, which only narrows the anomaly more. But you've also bravely come forward with your experience and started the scientific process. Like it begins with experience and observation and question. That is literally the first step of science. So yeah, it's interesting to see that other side of it. The fact that you are a scientist once you've had a paranormal experience.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, once you put it that way, absolutely for sure. Because we're still continually trying to have not only experiences, but maybe trying to figure out how they're happening.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. And some of that may quite literally be us, you know, charging that atmosphere. There was a great paper that led down the road to what we now know as remote viewing. Hal Puthoff wrote it. He's right here in Austin. He now works at his lab here in Austin on how to squeeze energy out of a vacuum, how to create piezoelectric energy by actively squeezing a vacuum of space. Pretty fascinating stuff. But his paper as a laser scientist was, are scientists adversely affecting their experiment when they go home and think about their experiment?
Yeah.
in a quantum entanglement kind of way. And the idea that, you know, can you burn your apartment down by being stuck in traffic and repeatedly thinking, my God, did I leave my iron on? Did I leave my iron on? Can you influence things to such a point that your iron turns on and burns your apartment down while you're gone? And it's pretty fascinating stuff, but there is a lot to show that is very much the case that, you know, we can manifest all kinds of quantum affect in the universe. Mm-hmm. Even to the point of, Uri Geller being able to, affect things like magnetometers, stuff like that, that are inside of Faraday cages. I just left a remote viewing conference, and some of the people that were there, that's always a question I get as a remote viewer, is like, oh, you know, did you just use a Faraday cage? I'm like, I don't think you get it. That has 0%. Like, you could put the person and the object that's being viewed both in Faraday cages, and it would make absolute zero difference. So it's pretty interesting.
I get what you're saying. Because some of the private residential cases that we do, I believe that people are just hearing normal sounds of a house, you know, things like that. And all of a sudden they manifest these spirits and entities, these things, and actually bring them into their home without even realizing they're doing it. So they're creating their own misery.
No, it's literally a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's fascinating to think about, you know. And that's one of the reasons whenever I talk at conferences, things like that, it's the idea that you, as an investigator, you should have like a rote checklist. You probably shouldn't be diving down the YouTube rabbit hole of the location that you're going to, you know, like the night before you go, you know, because you're coloring the data that you're going to get. You're kind of going in with a hammer and a handful of nails just in case.
I always go in. I always go in with the history of the location, and that's it. Yeah. I don't go in with, it was haunted over here or this happened over here. I don't want to know those things, and I don't want to see anybody investigating those. I want to experience it for myself to see what kind of dates, names, information, anything that I can, anything that I can come up with that isn't explained to me through a YouTube video.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because there's a lot to that, and to the idea that you can start affecting a lot of your data and start looking at your data through that specific lens. And you really do have to guard against that as an investigator. Yep. And here in the last 15 minutes, because you will be doing live investigations at the upcoming Crossing Realms conference. Mm-hmm. What brought you guys to create this conference and put this on? Because that is quite the undertaking. As somebody who does corporate AV for a living, it's always quite the undertaking to put on an event like this. So what brought you guys to the point of doing this?
You know, we were, it's not just Brandy and I, it's Bigfoot Michigan Rob, it's Tex, it's Paranormal Paul, Monica Rollins, Jason McLean, Randy Gilbert, Donnie Cho. You know, it's all of us have had a hand in it. And, you know, with the combine of all of us, you know, we know so many fabulous, wonderful people with so many different backgrounds and different genres. We're like, hey, you know, we can do this. And Brandy and I, we've done a couple conferences previously. So this is basically our third one that we're doing. But, and then Monica, you know, she did conferences for a long time. So with all of us, we just kind of put all of our minds together and here we are, you know, it's, you know, the Ray County Museum is near and dear to Brandy and I. A very, very dear friend is the administrator there. And so we've seen and heard a lot of the turmoil, the ups and downs with COVID affecting, you know, keeping the doors open and, you know, things like that. So we do a lot of benefit work for the Ray County Museum. So this is, you know, it's going to help, you know, at the museum and, the Eagleton, is right next door to it. So, you know, we got lucky there. If you know, if it's anything for the Ray County Museum, they don't charge to use the Eagle Tent. So, you know, we got lucky there. And then it's also in the fairgrounds. So we have unlimited space for vendors, you know, so it just, everything has fallen into place. And like I said, we all, you know so many talented people with different genres that it's like, this is silly. How can we not? You know, let's just, you know, I love to learn. Brandy loves to learn. We all do. And, you know, just all of these great people that we've asked to come. And even, you know, we didn't even have enough room for everybody to speak. So we have special guests coming too, you know, because they all have bring their own qualities and fans. And, you know, it's just a place that people can get together and we can talk about weird stuff and we all get it.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
and you know, that is more important in this day and age than a lot of people realize. Yeah. And that is something that I bring up regularly because I sponsor a lot of conferences. I go and I cover a lot of conferences. And it's interesting to see how some of the communities have a lot of vitriol in the background, stuff like that. I don't see a lot of that in the cryptid community in that kind of way, you know, it's interesting to see how everybody is swapping stories, sharing stories, the way that y'all were tonight, things like that.
And that's the thing too, you know, like, you know, we're all about like uplifting everybody else's. We're not in doing this, you know, like, oh, we have more subscribers than you or, you know, we're not about that. You know, we're about helping each other and uplifting other channels and each other. And, you know, let's all get along and let's all share the wealth together so we can all learn. Yeah. You know, that's what it's about for us. And so we wanted to keep the ticket prices affordable, you know, so people can come and just come and hang out with us. That's it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And family-friendly events are what it's about. And I mean, that's just it. Like you said, affordable from like $13. You really can't beat that. And it's going to be an amazing couple days of talks, presentations, all kinds of things. Before we let you guys go, in addition to the Eventbrite, which just go to Eventbrite, folks, or just go and search for Crossing Realms Conference on Google, and I guarantee you will find it. But before we let you go, let everybody know where they can go to follow Blondes and Booze, where they can go to keep up with you on social media, all that kind of good stuff.
So we are on YouTube, of course, and it's under Blondes and Booze Paranormal Podcast. And we'd appreciate it, you know, if people would subscribe to us. And, you know, we talk about all different genres, a little bit of everything from metaphysics to dog man. It doesn't matter to us. If it's weird, we'll talk about it. So that's our YouTube. And then we also have a Facebook page. And, you know, we allow others to, you know, promote their shows and, you know, things like that too on there. So, join it. And, you know, we post a lot of our, conference things there and, you know, our shows, of course, too. So
absolutely. And then we love to, we let people post stories. We let them, you know, anything that they pictures. Find interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our, you know, we like unity in our community. That's so right. We allow everybody, you know, to post, you know, their scary stories or something interesting they find.
Yeah, absolutely. Or their groups, you know, we like I said, we're all about, you know, unity and coming together. And I think that's what this whole community, be it the ghosts, the cryptid, the UFO, you know, we all need to do more of that.
Absolutely. Yes. Guys, thank you guys so much for your time tonight. It's been great chatting, catching up, all that kind of stuff. Hold the line real quick while we close things out with the audience. While you are online, following Blondes and Booze on Facebook and on YouTube, everybody, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is where you can like, follow, subscribe. That is where you can find our events page full of tons of live coverage from Cygames, Roswell UFO Festival, Lone Star Paracon, all kinds of other shows. That's where you can also find your link to Curious Research and the Field Observation Log. If you are a researcher in the world of paranormal, UFOs, Bigfoot, stop on by, get your field observation and encounter log today. That is your chance to write your scientific data down in the field as the investigation happens so that your data is ready to shake hands with science come the day that you need to do so. Thank you guys so much for your time tonight. Thank you for your open hearts, your open minds. That is what makes the conversation. And without the conversation, humanity does not march forward. So remember, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. To download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault, or become a sponsor of Curious Realm, visit our website at CuriousRealm.com. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast and video services, CuriousRealm.com, as well as KGRA Radio, APR TV, and the official Curious Realm app for Roku devices. Curious Realm is a proud member of the Ground Zero Media family of podcasts. For more shows and members-only content, visit GroundZeroPlus.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious, and remember, the other side is always watching.